Greetings. Nelson Olmsted here. Today I have the history of some real estate from outer space. First, let's listen to Clint Gruber, our spokesman for Pacific Power.
Welcome once again to Stories of Pacific Powerland, a presentation of Pacific Power and Light, the company that has been serving the electric needs of the region's homes, farms, and industries through more than half a century of progress and growth. Now, let's join Pacific Powerland storyteller extraordinary, Nelson Olmsted.
A fine October mist fell along the banks of Oregon's Willamette River the day in 1902 that Ellis Hughes trudged homeward after a day's work splitting firewood. He was scarcely prepared for what he was about to find in the underbrush. At first glance, it was just another large rock. But something about its appearance brought Ellis Hughes up short. He stopped, began to probe about the moss-covered boulder with his fingers, and said,
Mighty funny-looking rock. Never seen one like it hereabouts, all pitted and hollowed out like that. Now, where the dickens could it have come from?
Well, Ellis Hughes was an intelligent man. There was only one explanation for the presence of the huge stone. It must be an object alien to the Earth, a falling star, a meteorite. And as such, Ellis reasoned wisely, it must have great value. During the months that followed, Ellis Hughes, his 15-year-old son, and a patient old workhorse, accomplished an engineering feat which might confound a modern-day heavy equipment expert. They unearthed that 15-ton stone and moved it, yard by yard, more than three-quarters of a mile, to a resting place beside the Hughes home. Ellis built a shed over his treasure and charged 25 cents to view the gigantic visitor from outer space. One of the viewers, however, turned out to be more than just a curious spectator. He said to Ellis Hughes,
Mr. Hughes, I have a reason to believe that you brought this meteorite illegally from property belonging to my client, the Oregon Iron and Steel Company. Now, I don't want to make trouble, so I'm willing to offer you $50 for the meteorite, and my client will pay to have it removed.
Why, you must be daft, man. This here meteor belongs to me. I wouldn't sell it for 50 times $50. Now get going before I throw you off my property.
Well, not too many days after that, Ellis Hughes found himself in an Oregon City courtroom defending his claim to the meteorite. The curious legal battle which ensued was to last almost 2 years, ending eventually in the Supreme Court of Oregon, which decided that Ellis Hughes had indeed removed the great stone from private property without legal permission. He watched grimly as the 10-foot-long chunk of celestial stone was loaded upon a river barge to be floated down the Willamette River to the site of the Lewis and Clark World Fair at Portland. As the prime attraction in the mining exhibit at the fair, the Willamette meteorite attracted thousands, including dignitaries and scientists from all over the nation. One scientist said, This is the largest meteorite ever located in the United States, and to the best of my knowledge, the third largest in the world. It is certainly deserving of further scientific study and of a place in one of the nation's major museums. Well, the great meteorite, which had already traveled untold billions of miles through space, was not through traveling yet. In 1905, it was purchased for $26,000 and shipped east, first to the American Museum of Natural History, and finally to the Hayden Planetarium in New York City, where it is on display today. Here, the massive stone that fell from the sky rests peacefully after causing a brief and bitter flurry in the affairs of men here in Pacific Powerland.
When you see